Yeah, chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There's no scripture more clear than that one. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. If you're crucified, you're dead. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In the same scripture, it says, it's a confusing thing, it says, I am dead, I am crucified, not I that live. And yet the next sentence says, I. Who is the I? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. Two times. Crucified. Not I that live. But the life I now live in the flesh, that has to be speaking of Christ in you. It can't be you. Does everybody agree?
Yes.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth.
Just speaking for me, I agree.
And again, you know. But Christ that liveth in me, and the life which you now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not you any longer. It's Christ. Christ lives by the faith of the Son of God. Christ alone lives by the faith of the Son of God. Amen?
What does the word live mean in this context, you think?
Alive.
Then dead means dead. And alive.
Dead means dead, and alive means alive.
Also means occupy the space, I guess, that you no longer occupy.
Well, again, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that liveth. There's no scripture clearer than this. Now let's reference Romans 6. My fingers are cold. I read yesterday's paper this morning, sitting out in the front porch. It probably wasn't smart. Oh, this is one of my great scriptures that was torn up. Let's start in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also, in the likeness of his resurrection, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The human race can't be resurrected, because only that which comes from the Father can return to the Father. Is that clear to everybody? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it means we've gone crazy, it is to God whether we be sober, it is for your cause. And if you're in right mind, you only live for other persons. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because thus we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The human race died on the cross. So who's been living? If you believe the scriptures, the only one that's been living is the evil one.
I thought it was Christ. I thought it was Christ who was living.
He is. But the evil one is the fallback. He's always there. The same as he was with Christ. The reason is that we have to duplicate the temptation of Christ that existed as Christ when he was in the natural, to now we have to live with the temptation of Christ as now Christ in us, the only hope of glory. He's being tested so that he in us is tested so the bride can be perfected.
He's preeminent. He would be preeminent.
In where?
Well, you say the only one that lives is Antichrist.
He is he's the default position.
Can't go there. He wasn't raised from the dead. Christ was.
But you were always, the evil one has always been here.
But he was killed on the cross.
Satan was killed on the cross. Not his minions.
It doesn't really say that anywhere that I've seen, that his minions weren't killed. I mean, he took it all with him. Dead.
And his temptation has to now continue in us.
What about that scripture that says raised from the deadly head wound? Is that why?
Huh?
The revelation, raised from a deadly head wound.
That's what he was raised from the deadly head wound, the evil one, that was the natural being in us because of the fall. The fall always has to be remembered. The fall, now, the human race is the instead of Christ.
But the cross was the cure for the fall.
If you die.
Why do you say if?
Because you're buried in baptism. If you didn't get buried in baptism, if you didn't see that was your burial, then you're off track.
But if you did see it,
you have to see it and then live it, so that you can live by faith alone. Whatever is not of faith is sin.
So how do you know if you're living by his faith or not then?
You don't use your mind for anything. Let's go some more. Let's go to Colossians 3. No, I'm sorry. Start in Colossians 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things it have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore. Mortify means to consider dead. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And it goes into all of them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So you can be a believer in Christ, but still be a child of disobedience. Because you're not setting your affections on high, you're setting your affections on things on the earth. Things in time and space, for that matter. So mortify, therefore. Mortify means consider you dead. Now let's go to Romans 6. Verse 20, let's start in verse 20 of chapter 5, I'm sorry.
6:25?
No, verse 20 of chapter 5 of Romans. Well, we even got to go before that, I'm sorry. Let's start in verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, in Greek it says by faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh experience. Now these things that he's just talking about are us continuing with him in Christ's temptation, no longer ours. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. Now, we are, just listen to the exhortations now in this next few verses. Where in verse 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as though the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which was by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto us. And not as it was on one that, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more then they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through Jesus Christ, through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Now, that's all examples of the incredible life in Christ. But now it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, what does that mean? It's obviously some Christians were continuing in sin that grace would abound. Is that clear? Otherwise it wouldn't be in there. Well, how do you continue in sin so grace may abound? What is the sin you continue in? Is it drug use or fornication? Is it? No, it's faith that you're not living in. If you're not living by faith, then you're living in sin. Because sin is the evil one. And again, he is there just like he was in Christ, trying to tempt Christ in you to return to flesh for any reason. Unless you don't remember what fornication means. Fornication means going to someone somewhere other than God for your needs. That's why Hosea was told to marry a harlot so that Israel could see their sin. It's either faith by faith, or it's sin by the mind. There's no in between. So we go just as Israel did. From faith, it says his righteousness has caused us to be forgiven of sin. That's all we know. We're forgiven of sin, but we're still in the world. And you go into the wilderness, and it's terrible in the wilderness because you don't even believe, but you did once believe. But don't be as those that went to Kadesh Barnea and stayed there 39 years thinking they were in the promised land. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's no in between. Now again, it takes time to find that out. It takes time. And the time it takes is so you can come to the end of all the things in the world that have given you in the past sustenance. There's no, and that test is, it's his test. He's always trying to get you to use your mind the same way that the evil one tempted Christ. And your role is by repentance always to put him back in the cave or wherever he is, preferably that he would be dead. But can you see that's what it means when we continue with him in his test? It's no longer our test. It's his test. And we have to go through to find out what our test is. What we slowly find out as we study scripture and we live in community and we exhorted one another, we slowly find out what is sin. We pretty soon then, eventually, we find out that everything that's not of faith is sin. There's no in between. Does that communicate at all? If you don't believe it, I mean, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I mean, that's said many times in the Bible. Well, what does it mean to be of faith? It means eventually not leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything, but that you've abandoned yourself completely. Just you've walked away from the burial zone. You're never going to return to it. And if you do, there's always forgiveness if there's repentance. But if there's no repentance, you're not forgiven. This is what all these scriptures that we talk about, that you cast down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. Does that not speak? The scriptures about you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye sees toil, then even the light that is in you is darkness, and even how great is that darkness? You could go on and on and on and on. But it all has to come back to the place that you live by faith alone. Not your faith, his faith. And his faith is so, he and the Holy Spirit are so humble. And this is the unbelievable thing. That wherever you are, they're not. Except the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can't say none of us are there. Paul wasn't there. But never think you're there. Because I promise you, if you think you're there, you'll continue in sin. Any response?
One of the things our study about the filthy garments last week was pretty strong. Internally, how when my mind starts wandering off, it made it clearer. Wow, one of those filthy dreamers in June at that point, at that moment, and he
Remember, the crucifixion has to happen. The crucifixion is you're crucified to the world, but the world is crucified unto you. What does that mean? It means that nothing about you is attractive to anyone in the world if you esteem the same things that the world esteems. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. That's pretty strong. Goes along with, you know, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. These aren't, therefore, they're there for, they're warning to us. I've heard of him by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth him, and I abhor myself, and repent in sackcloth and ashes. You have to go from knowing about him by hearing to seeing him, and no man can live and see him. Just think of the exhortations in the scriptures to the people that thought they believed in God. They're not there just because somebody wanted to put them there. They're scriptures to show us what faith alone is. Remember the, well, unless we got time, remember 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack. Verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. On verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And remember, the repentance that we are longing for is the repentance not to be repented of, but I'm not there. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and manner of life and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And we now know that new heaven and new earth is what? It's the new Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem is this place that's out of time. Wherefore, beloved, now this is one of the warnings. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto us. And all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do all their scriptures unto their own destruction. Therefore, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in love, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now remember the word up here that says hasting, in verse 12. What that means is to cause the day of the Lord to come by our obedience. It's not just a mental attitude, it's our total and complete obedience. And that's what I pray for daily, for the church, for us, for you and I. That we not be seduced by the evil one, as it says right here. It's what the Lord's Prayer says. Lead us not inward. Lead us not into inward for any reason. But to the contrary, what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Let nothing lead you into the evil one. That's what that says. But deliver us from the evil one. Let us have the mind of Christ alone, not mixed with another mind. All right. That's bottom line, is that's how you see from the top down, when you don't see the world any longer. Amen?
I have a different title. I would call it seeing from the inside out instead of the top down. Small distinction, but it's like if Christ is your life.
But the evil one, just like he was with Christ, he's trying to pull him away, so he's trying to pull us away from faith. That's all he does. It's his job. Believe it or not, he is the default position of the human race because of the fall.
Why you don't see there's a difference after you've been converted?
Well, because the whole Bible is full of the exhortation that people have been converted, warning them not to be a friend of the world, not to give breath to anything in the world, not to return to the evil one for any reason. That's what the Bible is about from beginning to end. As believers, not giving their life back over to the evil one in any way.
Okay, but we've been reconciled. We've been saved. We're being saved.
Well, but that's, what is it? What do all those scriptures mean?
They mean that there's a new creation that is your life now. And from the source, that life is God. Christ is God's life, and that's the life that's being lived. Then the outside influences will try and pull you away.
But it's not the outside influences that pull you away, it's the inside influence, because your mind is the evil one. Your mind, it does, that's all it can do is sin. That's what all the scriptures are. It's what we just read about exhortations. Don't continue in sin that grace may abound.
Of course, that we exhort believers in that way.
Right, and that's what I do daily. To know that your mind is the evil one.
But you see people as the Antichrist instead of as Christ.
No, that's not true. I warn them if they've been seduced to think they can live by somewhere other than faith. And that's true to all of us. And that's what the Bible is about. Once you're saved, it's not being seduced to return back to the no faith position. It's not faith because it says it's faith, it's faith because you live it by faith.
Faith. It's faith because he lives it. It's not you live it. It's live because your life is him who does live by faith. It's not you making a decision to live by faith.
No, it's you seeing that any time you're not, you repent. And the Bible is complete. It's the end is faith alone. No breath to anything in the world. No importance to anything. No, all of the things we've studied. That's what the battle is. The evil one is still around. And it's you. You're the Antichrist. You and I are. That's why we live by faith alone. Because if we're not living by faith alone, then we're using our minds. And the mind is the instead of Christ.
It does say, set your affections on things above. Is that the Antichrist doing that?
No, that's warning you. That was a complete warning.
It didn't sound like a warning. It sounded like in view of the fact that you are in him, you will set your affections on things above.
Well, all right.
Talking about life and to talk really about it, we got to get down to where it emanates.
Right.
That's why I'm pushing this. It's like,
right, but you're not seeing that that repentance is just about constant, because your mind is always trying to pull you back into no faith. Your mind is always trying to make something in the world attractive to you. Your mind is always trying to keep part of you not crucified. Part of you not dead. That's its job. That's why Jesus did nothing of or from himself after his baptism. Because he saw always the difference between faith and no faith.
And that's how we walk.
But if we walk by faith, but it can't be because it says we do, it has to be that's what we do. And if we live by faith alone, our mind has no part of it. Otherwise, you keep giving importance to that, to the evil one, and he will seduce you to give importance to things in the world. That's his job. That's what he does, to perfect that life of Christ which is in you, which should be you alone, not no faith, just live by faith. And living by faith means never leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. So you continue with him in his test, no longer your test, because you're dead. But you're not dead unless you're dead. You're not dead because it says you're dead. The evil one is constantly resurrecting himself.
This is why I question the word live. Live means to me, your source of life is God, and you know it.
Well, everybody that was ever a Jew or a Christian believes that. But there's another stage. The stage is leaving everything that is not a faith. That's the only way you can look from the top down. Because nothing from the bottom has any pull on you anymore. Not family, not friends, not money, not fame, nothing. So it's faith alone. All right, take it, big guy.